Today on The Breakdown, it's a monumental clash of poker titans. It's like Boris Becker against Yvon Lendl, which happened twice in the French Open, twice in a row, which some of you tennis heads know when Boris Becker broke out and won back-to-back French Open titles at age 18 and 19 against Yvon Lendl. It was shocking the first time. Shocking. Not so much the second time. It isn't that. This is not that. But instead of Boris Becker, we've got Jeremy Becker, possibly related. We don't know. We haven't done the research. And he's up against Jesse Lonis, who is a very successful poker player, probably, according to numbers and Hendon and the like. And they're going to play a hand on the Poker Go Tour. Final table. Money's involved. Cards involved. Chips will get pushed around the way they do. It's an experience for you to have right now on The Breakdown. With Grant Dennison and Jonathan Levy.
Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck second.
Going back to the waiting thing.
The pause thing, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't done
that. Cracks me up.
Haven't done it for a while.
It's really funny to me. I hope it's funny to others. I don't know if it is.
Well, as long as you're sparking your own joy, then you're living a condo life.
A condo life?
Marie Kondo. Does it spark joy?
Is it condo?
I don't know how to say it.
Oh, with a K. No, you're right.
I've never seen any of her shit. I just know that she was popular for a while, like 5 years ago.
It's like basically keep your shit clean.
No, it's like get rid of things from your house, like declutter.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it doesn't spark joy, that was the big thing. If it doesn't, hey, eye contact. If it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it.
Mm.
That's her thing.
I mean, it's probably good words to live by.
Yeah.
I can see why she has a Netflix series.
Does your $24 IKEA table that you use...
spark joy.
Does that spark joy?
I wouldn't say it does, no. I don't think it sparks.
Let me ask you something else, and this is important. Does any of the toilet paper in your house spark joy?
It does.
Oh,
yes.
It sparks joy?
Yes. That's expensive toilet paper.
What I'm telling you is get rid of the toilet paper. You got to live without it.
It's expensive and it's very nice. It feels good to use. Mm. And I've had the not good toilet paper and it's really problematic.
Everybody's had the not good toilet. Everybody's had to take a crap at the airport before.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really bad. But even like just normal toilet paper at this point, I'm like a total snob with this.
It unsparks joy.
Yeah. Like I need the good stuff now. Like I'm a guy who lives for the good stuff when it comes to toilet paper. I don't spend on a lot, but I spend on that.
That is surprising, considering like that means you really do care because you are the cheapest person I have ever met.
That probably isn't true.
Okay, the cheapest person that I've ever known well. How about that?
Oh, that might be true.
Yeah.
Price is not an object when it comes to toilet paper. I get the good stuff, and I'm happy to do it.
Oh, price, if I tell you it's $400 a roll, I think you're going to balk at that.
Of course, yes. But I'm saying, like, whatever the most expensive, I don't care that it's the most expensive brand. You know, I mean, I do look at the prices and try and buy in bulk or whatever, but I'm buying the good stuff only. I would never buy a cheaper brand when it comes to toilet
paper. It's a good thing to spend money on.
It is.
Toilet paper, shoes, and mattresses.
Mm.
That's how you stay alive, baby.
Shoes.
Those are the big three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoes matter.
Yeah. So do mattresses.
Sure.
Yeah. But you don't have to spend a ton on mattresses to
you
get
really
a good,
don't.
Good mattress.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love that too. So does Jesse Lonis.
Jesse Lonis has a lot to say about mattresses.
He's a mattress connoisseur in a way that I can never dream of being. He also is very successful playing PLO. Is he not?
He won $2.3 million playing PLO not very long ago. He won the 50K high roller at the World Series for $2.3 million.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. He also had a successful little $270,000 second place World Poker Tour, $10,000 buy-in Omaha win about a month ago.
Good for
him. So he's been having a pretty awesome year for Jesse Lonis.
I have never really played PLO in a truly competitive way.
Mm.
Have you?
I mean, I played like 2-5 at Caesar's Palace for a while and stuff. And
how many total hours did you play of PLO?
In my life?
Yeah.
You're
actually like
yeah.
in pro mode trying to win money.
Yeah, of course. I'm always in pro mode trying to win money. to be fair with me. Like, if it,
that's
if,
true.
It,
or a 5 cent, 10 cent game. You don't change your ranges. Under the gun range is very strict.
I did call off 1,000 blinds against you when I raised to 3 blinds and you shoved for 1,000. Maybe it was 200 blinds. I think it was 1,000 though. I think you shoved for $10 on over. No, that's just 100 blinds.
Yeah, it's only 100 blinds.
I caught off with King Jack. Immediately, I was like, "It's $10, right?" I call. So, I mean, come on, that's pretty good. But no, I would guess I've played serious PLO total hours probably 100.
Really, that much?
Yeah, yeah. I used to do a thing where I would get together with other pro poker players in Portland, and we had a PLO, like a private PLO game that we played, like for fun, but for money and for serious.
Yeah.
But like, part of it was like we were all like thinking good players who were successful, and like it was like a social thing too, and we used to do that. You were obviously not invited.
I was not.
Yeah, you didn't know about that.
No.
Yeah, but that's okay.
I didn't want to go.
No, you probably wouldn't have wanted to go.
I didn't want to go.
It involves talking to other people.
It's PLO. I am not a PLO.
That's
pro.
Why I went to. I went so I could learn to get better at PLO because everyone knew what they were doing, and I was barely knew what I was doing, and it was really cool. There's this one guy who was like a PLO cash. I don't even know if he was an expert. He also played Hold'em really well, but he would sit next to me. And he would show me his hand after I folded, but he would show me his hand. He played like 90% of hands. He would narrate what he was thinking about his hand and the board and the players as it was going loud enough for everyone to hear, and he still won.
Huh.
It was very interesting.
Good for him.
Yeah. That was surprising that one could do that, but he did it consistently. He'd be like, oh, that's a really bad flop for me, but it's worse for them, so I can raise. And then he would raise, and they would fold, and he would win. And I'd be like, I don't know how you do that, Sam. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I am not a professional level PLO player.
No.
Maybe I could become one if I tried. I don't know.
I mean, probably, but why?
Yeah.
Why it didn't take over the way people thought it was. Remember?
No, like 8 or 9 years ago, everybody's like, PLO's going to take over for Hold'em.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more action.
Yeah.
It's more fun. You get to see more whatever.
That really didn't happen.
No.
Really, really didn't.
It absolutely didn't. Hold'em has really held on. It's weird to me that No Limit Hold'em has held on as well as it has.
It's just the perfect blend of simplicity and complexity.
I guess so.
It really is.
Yeah. Like, I guess PLO is too complex for the rec.
And the swings are probably too much, too.
Yeah.
It's super swingy.
Yeah. Maybe there's something, and it goes to the simplicity of it. Like, you often know where you stand in Hold'em, right? Like, the flop comes out, and you have a general sense of how strong your hand is. But that's not so clear in PLO if you don't really know what you're doing sometimes.
I mean, I think the classic thing, the mark of a good game, not just like a card game, but any game, is that it's simple to understand, but difficult to master.
A minute to learn, a lifetime to master.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's No Limit. Yeah, that's No Limit Hold'em, right? It kind of perfectly fits that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
That's probably right. And you can, it's kind of cool that like people who don't know at all what they're doing can play No Limit and enjoy themselves and really have competitive games and it's great.
Yeah.
And people who really know what they're doing can play. And there are very different things happening on both in both games, but it doesn't matter.
Anybody could win.
Yeah. And still anyone can win.
Yeah. Yeah. That part's cool.
It's a very interesting piece of it, the luck factor. But anyway.
Speaking of not being a professional level in PLO, I just realized that like for the first time in my life, I am now professional level in a second card game that's not No Limit Hold'em. It's Dramaha.
Of course. We are both absolutely professional level at that.
Yeah, if there was like a Dramaha circuit, that would be...
We would crush that circuit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying other people wouldn't do well too,
yeah.
But you and I were talking about this because we played in a Dramaha tournament last weekend.
Yeah.
And when we got to the... It wasn't even the final table, right? It was when there were two tables left. I think I said to you at one point, it's weird that there's three of us on this table, you, me, and this other guy, who I think are clearly the best players who are left. Like, not to put down anyone else, but like the three of us really know what we're doing with this game, right? It's possible we know more than the other guy too, because there's certain stuff we know that just, I don't know if anyone else knows. But maybe not. He may know. It's hard to say. But, and I was really curious about like how good are we, the three of us? Are we good enough to be the three best players in the Pacific Northwest too? Or is that just crazy?
I don't know. It's probably crazy.
It's probably, right? There should be some like Wizards in Seattle, right?
Yeah, but I just don't know if these Dramaha games are being played enough for that to be the case.
I mean, mostly not, right?
Yeah.
Mostly they're played like in home games and just as one of a big mix.
Right.
And so like no one really learns it, but you and I, we learned it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We know it.
Feels good.
It does feel good, but we're going to talk about No Limit Hold'em.
Let's talk about Hold'em.
This was suggested by Chris Jones.
Yes.
The Minnesota Golden Gopher himself.
The fanboy.
Duck, duck, gray duck, they say over there.
They really do, don't they?
They do. They don't know what a goose is.
It's weird.
Yep.
I mean, it's weird. They don't say white duck, gray duck, by the way. It's like, it's really saying that.
The gray duck is a piece of shit. We hate the gray duck.
You are not the same as anyone else.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah. So maybe consider that next time you're playing that game
with your children.
Yeah, don't be such a bigot against gray ducks just for a second in your life, please.
Or just, you know, things of other colors.
Yeah, Minnesota. Give me a break. All right, just kidding. Come on. Minnesota's okay. Great. We love Minnesota.
We do.
We
sure.
Love them. They're
I've
great.
I've been there.
Yeah, sure. I haven't, but I've thought about it.
I've been to St. Paul many times.
I know people who at one time lived in Minneapolis. They said it was cold, but also there was nice things.
Anyway.
All right, so we have six left in this 5K. It's a Poker Go Tour. Give me a little infwat.
Okay. Everyone has locked up $22,500 in this 10K buy-in event.
5K
buy-in. 5K buy-in event. Excuse me.
4.5X.
There were 90 entries total, so you know. So yeah, locked up, 22.5. First place is $121,500. The next jump is $9,000. So it's $9,000 jumps for the next two spots, and then it's a $16,000 jump from fourth to third. And finally, we get a $22,000 jump from third to second, and then second to first is an actual money jump. Like, it's not a whole lot going on here.
These PGT things are interesting that they're coming out because
it's so much flatter than what we're used to.
Well, yeah, and the fields are so much smaller, so it's much more akin to like your local tournaments, right?
Which really is.
Are going to have, depending on where you are, you know, you have anywhere between like 40 and a couple hundred entries, and not like these huge multi-thousand entry fields.
And we end up getting guys like Jeremy Becker, who, when I looked at his Hendon, he is mostly playing $500 and $600 buy-in type things, mm-hmm. not 5Ks, you know.
But he does have $1.4 million in Hendon because he plays so much, right?
Yeah, well, if you go to his Hendon, it's just an endless scroll of $700 caches and $1,200. His biggest cash is $56,000, even though he has a Hendon of, $1.4 million.
That's hard to do.
I actually thought it might be a typo. I actually went to, look, because it seemed impossible, but that's real. So that's the volume this kid is playing.
Not to put down Jeremy Becker. I don't think I've ever seen or heard of a Hendon like that before, which has such a big number as the total number and has the biggest cash be $56,000.
Yeah, I agree. I'm only barely scrolling. I mean, he has a bunch of first places. So I was wondering if he was not cashing in the top three enough. But he seems to be doing fine. I think he's just playing smaller stuff with not big fields in them. So, you know, even when he finishes second, he gets $6,000 in a $500, you know.
I mean, maybe he's a small field specialist and he's actually doing all right doing that. It's possible.
I mean, I said to you before we started, it seems hard to imagine that he is profitable with the amount of volume he's playing in $1.4 million. I doubt it's possible. I mean, I could be proven wrong, of course, but it seems hard to imagine.
It does seem a little hard.
That's okay.
Lonis is probably profitable with a $2.3 million score on his resume.
He's having a hell of a year. Hell of a year. And his overall Hendon is $6.8 million.
I think he's
doing fine.
Yeah.
He's what people sort of aspire to be, right? I mean, sure, everyone wants to be Jason Kuhn and Dana Negreanu, but before you're thinking about that, you're thinking about you want to be a guy like this, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So good for him.
All right. So we're at 25K, 50K.
Yes.
Lonis has $1.35 million in front of him. He is going to be the effective stack between these guys. So he's got under 30 bigs, 27 bigs. He's going to open Jack 10 off from the cutoff to 120K. Seems fine.
Yep.
Becker is in the big blind. He's got $1.83 million, so covers Lonis by about $500,000. Has King 9 of Hearts, makes the call.
Okay.
I have no qualms yet. Do you have any qualms?
I have no qualms.
Qualms?
I am qualmless.
You don't have a qualm?
I'm without.
So you say qualm without the L.
Qualm has an L. Qualm.
But you said qualm.
Qualmless. There's an L in there. Qualm. Hear it? Qualm. It's just before the M.
I feel like I'm going insane.
I have done my job. Yeah. I will leave now.
Yeah.
I want you to either be, at the end of any podcast we do, to be infuriated or confused. Those are the things I'm looking
this
for.
This is the second podcast of the day, although the other one we did was a Just Go With It. So
yeah, we sort of got to really let the horses ride in that
one. Yeah, the horses, they rode.
I mean,
does that mean the horse rides the person when you say let the horses ride?
I think it does mean that. Yeah. Okay. and I will say, we did some whack shit. You put me in a scenario where I'm sent back into time, 1971, I'm about to be born, and I'm offered... options to given immortality, if I destroy that young man's life, basically, yeah. and would I do it, and should I, and how would I do it, and much, many more. Many
and that's
more
the
things.
Type of thing we talk about on Just Go With It. If you're not listening, get over there and listen.
We also did most overrated movies, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
There was some anger.
I mean, the audience will be angry.
Yeah, and you said some dumb shit.
I said some amazing shit that will be studied by historians.
Yeah.
But I don't respect the historians because future historians are going to be weak-ass historians. Yeah. You know?
How can you even be a future historian?
That right.
doesn't make any
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, that's why I already shit on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they suck.
Anyway.
Anyway, there's 315K in the pot. Jack 10 off for Lonus in position. Becker with King 9 of hearts in the big blind.
Okay.
ICM is not a huge factor as like the next pay jump is barely under two buy-ins.
Right.
So who cares?
Not at all.
The flop is 6 of diamonds, 9 of clubs, queen of clubs. It's an action flop, sort of.
I mean, sure. Everyone has something.
Yeah, Becker flops middle pair. Lonus flops the open under. Neither of them has even a backdoor flush draw, somehow.
Don't get upset.
Some way. Nobody has a club simulation much. Am I right?
Nice.
All right, it's going to be pretty basic on the flop, right? Becker checks. Lonus bets 60K.
Sure.
That's small. 60 into 315?
On this board, which you would fully expect to get a lot of calls from. That's okay to bet, but I think we have to be planning on following up with a lot of turn bets.
I think that is the plan for sure.
That seems fine.
Yeah.
He's like, I guess if you have like pocket fours, you can sometimes fold.
Does the bet size at all make you want to raise as Becker with middle pair and a decent kicker?
No.
Because it's just like too obviously a call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, what... Do we want him to play perfectly against us? Because we might get him to play perfectly against us with the raise. That doesn't sound great.
Yeah. It just sucks that we let him get away with 60K, you know?
I know. But, you know, do we want him to bet huge? I mean, we'll call, obviously, if he did, but we don't love that. You know, 60K, it's a nice, cheap way to keep the pot small, and we have middle pair. It sounds fine.
That's what Becker does. He calls.
Okay.
Good job, everybody.
I mean, what hands is Becker folding that he called a raise with? I know it was a... It was a small raise. I mean, whatever. It's you know.
I mean, like ace four of spades doesn't really have much going on.
Yeah, I guess so. Like suited kings that don't have anything. King three suited. Yeah. There's not much though.
Yeah,
suited. I guess suited some suited stuff. Ace four off maybe.
Yeah,
he might even call ace four off. Anyway, let's continue.
All right. So the pot is 435,000.
Okay.
Again, we've got 6-9 queen, 1 diamond, 2 clubs. Lonus has Jack 10 off. Becker has King 9 of hearts. Nobody's got a backdoor flush draw. The turn is the 10 of spades.
Hey.
That might change your plan, is Jesse Lonus.
Yeah, I think
maybe he was going to bet pot or something on the turn if it was a brick.
Yep.
But instead it goes check, check, and I don't see any other way it could go.
Well, it does seem that Jeremy Becker with his King 9 should 100% be checking, and it would be very... I guess we could decide to bet as Lonus... specifically to build the pot if we were to improve, right? That's the only reason really to bet here.
Yeah, because I don't think we're folding out a queen.
No.
And I think we might fold out a 9.
Correct.
So neither of those are good.
But whenever we improve, it's going to be very hard to make any extra chips, right?
Yeah.
If we make a straight, it's going to be a 4-card straight on the board. A jack is a straight. If the 10 pairs, like, that's going to be hard to get chips. If the jack comes, if we're good, it's going to be hard to get chips, right? So that's the only reason I could think to bet is like, but overall, I think a check is still called for.
I mean, at this stack depth, right? Like, we're just happy to win the pot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We can go for value later. If it checks again and a brick comes off, we can probably bet to try and get called by a 9.
Yeah.
But I think a check is right because this is how we get the 9 to pay us off and we get to control the pot and not put ourselves in some weird, terrible spots, right?
Right. So that's the steak. You know, that's just the meat and the potatoes. Let's get to the sizzle.
Oh, you're really getting good at this. 9 years later, you figure something out.
Don't sell me the steak. Sell me the sizzle.
Yeah.
That's obvious. Like every salesperson knows that. The river is a brick. It's the 4 of spades.
That is a brick, son.
Yeah. 6 of diamonds, 9 of clubs, queen of clubs, 10 of spades, 4 of spades. No flushes come in. No straights come in. Except the straights that came in on the turn.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty nifty.
Okay.
Becker's going to check again. He's just like, please just give up with ace high. I would love to win with a 9. That sounds great to me.
We win a lot here.
All right. So you all were already alluding to that you think you could go for value on bricks as loon.
100%.
Try to get called by a 9.
It seems like we have to go for value. Yeah.
All right. How are you sizing it?
How much is in the pot?
435.
Trying to get called by a 9... If a nine calls, it's heroing. It knows it's heroing, so we should go big, I think.
Not huge, not insane.
Like
275?
I was going to say 300.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like that.
You could also go for the I'm just pricing him in move and bet 100K or 120K or something.
Lonus does neither of those things.
Okay, what does he do?
185.
That's the pricing in play, though.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's so cheap, you just have to call if you have a nine play, right?
Which, you know, if you're going to game it out, doesn't make much sense.
That's what I was saying. You got to go bigger because it's basically a hero now, right?
Yeah.
You're at least acting like you're making a value bet to get called by a hand like a nine.
Right.
Which it turns out he actually is, too.
Well, I think Becker read through that because this isn't the end of the hand. Becker's not going to call.
Right, because that would be
interesting. He's not going to fold. He's going to raise.
That is interesting.
I think this is Becker understanding exactly what just happened, right? And maybe Becker does call if Lonus makes it 275 or 300. He's like, well, you're polarized now and a nine can win sometimes. But when Lonus goes 185, you're like, fuck, how am I ever winning with a nine?
Some things that make sense here, right? That four of spades on the river shouldn't change anything unless if Lonus has pocket fours, right?
That's right.
The fact that he checks back the turn, if he doesn't have pocket fours, it's hard for him to have very strong value because you figure any like good value is betting this super wet board.
He could have a weak queen.
He could. Maybe even has a good queen sometimes and checks back just to pocket control because of stack depth.
And he could even have an overpair because it's just kind of a bad card for an overpair.
So then maybe I'm wrong. Because then if he can have like ace queen and king queen and kings and shit like that, you know, well, those are pretty strong.
He might only have aces actually. Kings might bet the turn just because it blocks king jack and has a straight draw.
I was wondering that too.
Yeah.
But it also blocks king queen. It blocks some of the kings you'd want him to have.
True.
So anyway, though, they obviously can have lots of queens.
I think Lonus can have a lot of queens, and he can have overpairs, and he can also have a 10 like he does. And he can probably, beyond that, just have bluffs, right? I don't think he's betting a 9 for value.
The question is he betting 185K with a hand like aces, or is he betting more? With the ace queen, is he betting that small, or is his size different? Because it seems like Becker thinks that he's not as strong as like aces and ace queen to make a raise here, right? Like,
well, I don't know. I mean, you're obviously repping better than those hands.
Of course you are. But like, you know, you would want to, you would like to attack a weak range, not a strong range, right? Now, of course, we have a blocker. No, we do not. Well, I guess we do. No, we have the king. We block the nuts.
We block two pair combos. We block set of nines and we block the nuts.
Yep. So we can have, that's good. We can have king jack. We absolutely can have that.
Yeah. And we can probably have some two-pair combos, too.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, so we're getting to the why, which is that it seems like Lonus is a little bit face-up here with his sizing, Becker figured it out.
Boy, does it look like a 10 or two jacks or something like that, right?
So Becker recognizes that his hand as a good 9 is unlikely to be good against this line with this sizing. Still, we have to ask, is this the right hand to raise with? Like, what group of hands should we be raising with as a bluff when we're here like this?
Right. Well, we want to have blockers.
So this might be pretty good so far.
I think
it's
good.
We don't have any clubs. That's good.
Yes, that is good.
We have a king. That's good.
Yep.
The nine is less valuable, but is good to block two pair and sets. Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt. So my initial thought is this is a good hand to turn into a bluff here.
The only question I would have is our hand like good enough to not turn it into a bluff? Because it's actually just good.
No.
Because he bet 185. Yeah.
He never has a nine. He never has like a weaker nine.
This is why I like betting. This is why I like betting 300K because now we have bluffs. Yeah. Right? It doesn't feel like we have bluffs very often.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So I want to say what happens and then we can talk about
it.
I wonder if this was all a plan. Like, this is a super leveling plan by Lonus, and this is why he's the real pro between these two guys, right? Because he calls quickly.
Oh, he does. I haven't seen it.
It's not like a snap call, but it's like he does not really tank.
He was like, if the guy raises, I'm calling. He's like, okay, I got to make sure.
Yeah.
And then he calls.
Yeah, he calls with Jack 10 pretty quick on the 6-9 Queen 10-4 board. So maybe he really understood exactly where Becker is in his thought process of sizing and things like that and knows that Becker is going to react this way. And like that Becker is just going to call with a queen because a queen might be good. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would make sense to call with a queen.
Yeah.
I think even if you got queen jack.
Right.
Of course we call with a queen. It should be good.
So like to give Lonus the most credit possible, it would be to say that he figured this all out.
The fact that he calls quickly, it sounds like he did, right?
And
my guess is that there's another piece to this too, which is not just that Becker's liable to take the bait, if you will, The 185K bait and raise with hands that are slightly worse than ours, but call with all the hands that are better. But also that Becker is probably going to lead out with a lot of his really strong hands.
With his strong queens and better? Or queens with blockers and better?
Oh, like hands that you could turn into a check raise for value. How about that?
Oh, so straights and sets and two
yeah,
pair.
Those kinds of hand top two.
Yeah.
Things that you could really consider doing with this with. Or maybe any other two pair perhaps as well. Like that he's usually just going to bet those himself. And if that's true too, now we can eliminate a lot of his value. And we put the chum in the water. And so everything's come to fruition. We have a blocker. This is all great, right?
Now, I mean, we make it sound simple.
I know. It's one thing to say all that. It's another thing. Lonis puts in most of his stack to call here, right?
Right. He raises to 720 over 185. Lonis started the hand with 1.345 million.
And he put in 180 already.
Yeah.
So he's going to be left with like 400K, which is like less than 10 blinds if he's wrong. But
yeah.
But he probably knows his customer, like you're saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're right that Becker is going to lead with a lot of his strong value, then it makes tons. Obviously, Lonis also blocks the straights with having a jack in his hand. I wonder if he makes the same play with ace 10 or if the jack is important. Mm.
Yeah, I wonder too. I wonder with ace 10 if he actually bets more also because he can get called by more hands.
Yeah, maybe.
That are easy calls.
King 10 and jack.
King 10 is right there.
Yeah, jack 10. Yeah.
Those are all hands that are obviously calling the flop, but yeah. So this is a cool hand. And it feels like, I mean, I think both guys probably played it pretty well, right?
Yeah, unless Becker just got, like...
Just because Becker gets owned doesn't mean he didn't play it well.
Doesn't mean he didn't play well, but in a way it does, right? Like, if Lonis really had this plan on the river and recognized that Becker was the exact right target and sized it perfectly and got the exact thing that he wanted out of Becker, it's not that Becker played it poorly, but he got played.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he definitely got... Of the two, Lonis played it better, right? Lonis gamed the whole thing out and... Becker couldn't see that Lonis had this in him. Now, maybe Lonis has set this up. You know, he's like bet small and folded to check raises on the river already, or he's seen Becker do check raises like this against this size. So he got the whole plan in mind. It sounds like he very clearly had a plan and followed through on it, right?
Yeah.
It's also possible Becker, as before he raises, with the decision to raise, thinks like, Lonis knows some of these things about me, but it's most of his stack he's not going to call off here. And he's just wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And like Lonis like is like, nope, I'm Jesse Lonis, man. I'm Jesse James Lonis.
I got guns, baby.
Yeah, and so I'm making this call. But it is one thing to be able to say, oh, yeah, easy call. No problem when you get check raised by
it. It's not easy.
Of course it isn't easy. Yeah. But another thing that's cool about it is, like, if Lonis bets 300K and gets check raised, it's probably an easy fold, right?
Yeah.
Because now there should be less bluffs.
Yep.
But now he, like, keeps a lot of bluffs alive.
Right.
Here by betting tiny and gives Becker a chance. As long as Becker's capable of this kind of play, which he clearly is, all right, this might be a super profitable play by Lonis to take this line.
There's a chance that this is also a result of Lonis having a very good year, and there's just like a confidence you can have. I know that I experienced this. Like
me too.
When I'm doing well in poker relative to other times, especially when I just feel like finance-wise, things are going quite well with poker. It's like easier to make these plays that I'm like, I'm pretty sure about this thing, but it's like kind of out there, right?
Right.
But it's a lot easier to make those plays when you're like, but I can do no wrong.
like Lonis is up like, is like won like $4 million in 2023 or some crazy number like that. And like maybe if he, now I don't know what his profit is, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's $2 million or something. At least, right?
Yeah.
Maybe a lot more. If he's breaking even on the year, and this, like, these money jumps matter.
Right.
But this 10K is not a big deal to him. He's been crushing,
like
you're saying. It does make it easier to be like, okay, I can be more pure about this instead of I have to be, like, tight and worry about, like, but if I'm wrong, it's such a big downside instead of, like, what's the right play?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think there's a second piece, too, like you're talking about, which is that confidence where I feel like when I am, like, really in the zone and I've been winning, like, this usually has happened after I've won, like, a few bigger tournaments.
Yeah.
I just, like, there's moves that are available to me that sometimes don't feel like they're available to me otherwise. You know, a guy, like, check raises me on the flop or the turn, and I move in with, like, an under pair because I just feel like I can see through them.
Yeah.
I can just see through them, and I'm willing to pull the trigger, you know? And, like, I might think they're bluffing, but I don't want to take the chance, you know?
Right.
Normally. I'm like, yeah, they don't have it. I'm going with this. And they just, and it feels like that, I'm probably not 100% on those, but like I very good hit rate on that stuff when I'm like feeling it, you know?
Right. There's something there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lonus is in the Zonus.
Really? It sucks for Becker to make. What is, I mean, this is a very nicely played hand, and this is going to work a lot against most players, yeah. I think,
yeah.
to have it not work because Lonus is, I guess, just better than
he's
he
just
is.
In the Zonus.
It's not that Becker is bad, it's that Lonus is better.
Right? That seems, it seems like
that's not embarrassing. That's not a problem. Lonus is clearly really, really good.
It sucks to be against players who are good. Let's not
I
do
know,
it.
I know, man. I know. Just play against the better. It's all about game selection, baby.
Yeah. Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. Night is baby scratching them vinyls until the record breaks. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second dates. I'm the rapper most likely to make.